Good morning, Seedbed. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Tim and Julie Tennant coming to you from our home to your home and sharing with you from the riches of the Psalms. As you know, we've been using Sunday as a way to talk through the Psalms and pray through the Psalms and sing through the Psalms. And today we come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we often think about Psalms, like where do they get their material from? The Psalms are generally drawn from the law and the prophets, and there are so many examples of Psalms where they have put to music great themes and great texts from the Old Testament. But in the case of Psalm 37, it's one of those that draws from the wisdom literature. So here you have basically the Proverbs put to worship. It's set as an acrostic, though it's not going to be sung that way today. But in the Hebrew text, it's set as an acrostic so that children can memorize it. And today we're going to focus on Psalm 37. So Julie, help us to know how we're going to sing the first few verses of Psalm 37.
Okay, so this is quite a long psalm. So we're going to sing the first 11 verses, and then Tim's going to reflect a little bit on the psalm as a whole, and then we will finish with the last 10 verses. So we're going to kind of bookend it with singing today. And there, as we go through, you will notice, as Tim said, a lot of proverbial kind of wisdom, things that almost sound like proverbs strung together into a song here. But and the theme of just not fretting because of evil and wickedness, but trusting the Lord. So we're going to sing to the tune of He Leadeth Me, the hymn He Leadeth Me. And we will be singing verses 1 through 11 to start ourselves off this morning. Okay, so Psalm 37. Don't fret because of evil men, of wicked ones don't envious be. For they, like grass, will fade away, like plants they'll wilt and die quickly. But trust the Lord and do what's good, dwell in the land, save days transpire. Delight yourself in God the Lord, and He will give your heart's desire. Commit your way unto the Lord, put trust in Him for all you do. He'll make your righteousness shine bright, your justice like the sun at noon. Be still before the Lord and wait. Don't fret when evil ones succeed. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. To fret will just do evil lead. For evil ones will be cut off, but not those who hope in the Lord. They will the land inherit, while the wicked soon will be no more. You'll look for them, they won't be found, though you may search and never cease. Instead, the meek will find great joy, inherit land and no great peace.
You know, that last verse there, 11, has that promise that comes out in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:5, that the meek will inherit the earth. And actually, this psalm uses five times, I think, it refers to righteous or meek inheriting the land. And when Jesus turns this into one of the Beatitudes, he says the meek will inherit the earth, the whole earth. So he enlarges the promise. But I want to just say a quick thing here before Tim jumps in about the word meek. The word meek has been kind of looked down upon in American culture. But I want to just have a quick reflection on the biblical quality of meekness. And I'm just going to give a few sentences here from Douglas Webster's commentary on the Psalms. He says, to think of meekness as a bold humility. Now, those are two words we usually don't put together. A bold humility or an assertive patience. Assertive and patience. I love the combination of these words that he uses. The strength to be meek lies in the promises of God. The reason we can afford to be meek is because of the grace of God in the present and because of the promise of God for the future. Mm-hmm. So it's a bold humility, a patience that is trusting with great confidence. So I just, mm-hmm. I love that positive view of what
That's
it means to be meek.
Joy. That's yeah. beautiful. Thank you. When we think about the Psalms, we often think about the Psalms as praise to God or prayers to God, even prayers in anguish to God. But in keeping with its connection to the wisdom literature, this psalm contains no prayers. It contains no petition to God, at least not in the way that we think about the prayers of the Psalms typically. Instead, the psalm really seems to lay out like a vision of the life that's embedded in wisdom. What does it mean to live life as a righteous person before God? What is the blueprint for that? And therefore, this is what we call a wisdom psalm. It's pretty unusual that David does one of these. It's a Davidic psalm, so it's really a special psalm. And this psalm highlights the great chasm that exists between the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And the psalms that spares no words in describing the wicked as those who oppress the poor, verse 14. They amass wealth for themselves, in verse 16. They fail to repay their loans, in verse 21. They lie in wait to crush the righteous, verse 32. In contrast, the righteous trust in the Lord, verse 3. The righteous give generously to those in need, verse 21. The righteous inherit the land, verse 29. The righteous promote peace, verse 37. And the Lord promises to vindicate his children. In fact, this psalm contains many of the most beautiful promises in the Bible. It's here that we're told that great one we always quote, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's in verse 4. That's in the midst of all of this challenge from the enemy. This is also the text that says, I was young, and now I am old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread, verse 25. This is the inheritance that is ours if we follow his path and live a life of daily trust in the Lord. Well, we shouldn't take these promises that often appear like in the promise boxes or whatever and pluck them out of their context. We should not isolate them from the very troubling context of the psalm as a whole. These promises of God, as wonderful as they are interwoven with the daily and, yes, stark reminder that, quote, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, verse 12. The wicked, quote, draw their sword to bring down the poor and needy, verse 14. The wicked borrow and don't repay, as we said earlier, verse 21. They lie in wait for the righteous, verse 32. All the promises of God, which we noted above, are interwoven in the midst of this real world analysis of the day-to-day experiences of what it's like to walk righteously in the midst of a wicked world. And some of you hearing this today need to hear the word from God for you, that sometimes God delivers us out of trouble, and sometimes he delivers us through trouble. And those are very different ways in which God comes to us. If these promises were given without these realities, they might come across as otherworldly or disconnected from reality. However, these promises, particularly in the context they are given to us, shine with great vibrancy and power. They're promises for the world that we actually live in. As Joey said earlier, five times the psalm promises God's people they will inherit the land, verse 9, 11, 27, 29, and 34, revealing the earthiness of God's promises. Jesus renewed this for us in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. If we orient ourselves toward God's purposes, he will bless us. If you actually look at the psalm as a whole, it actually gives us seven character actions, seven verbs that are calling us to orient ourselves to God in the midst of a very challenging world. We are to trust in God, verse 3, delight in him, verse 4. We're to commit our ways to him, verse 5. We're to be still before him, verse 7. We're to hope in him, verse 9. And we're to turn from our anger and turn to him in verse 8. And then it makes us wait for the seventh one in verse 34, wait for the Lord. Learn to wait for the Lord. Well, Joy, let's do some more singing, shall we?
Right. You know, I the psalm ends with this utter confidence that everything will be sorted out, that God will sort things out in the end. And so the ending of the psalm is almost like a the way the Psalter opens with Psalm 1, just really delineating the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, and how at the end God will prevail with righteousness. So we're going to pick it up at verse 31. It's speaking at this point, the psalm is speaking about the righteous ones. So when we are saying there, that's who we're referring to. So from verse 31 to the end, we'll finish with singing. The law of God is in their heart. Their feet don't slip from off the way. But wicked ones, they lie in wait to take the righteous lives away. The Lord won't leave them in their power, and he won't let them be condemned. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He'll lift you up to see their end. For righteous will inherit land, while wicked ones will be cut off. And you will see it in your day, the end of all who boast and scoff. I've seen the wicked, ruthless men who briefly flourish like a tree, but soon he perished, passed away. I looked for him, but gone was he. Consider blameless, upright ones. They have a future full of peace. But sinners all will be destroyed, their future cut off soon to cease. Salvation comes from God the Lord, in troubled times a refuge sure. The Lord delivers righteous ones from wicked hands, safe evermore.
You know, this psalm reminds me how at the very just crucible of the passion, when Christ is about to be crucified, he meets with the disciples in the upper room, and then that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to them, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And I love the construction of this psalm. Mm-hmm. Psalm 37, 12 times the wicked are referred to in this psalm, 12 times. And yet the covenantal name of God, Yahweh, is purposely invoked 14 times. It's a way of saying, though wicked come at you 12 times, God is still there with his covenant love to rescue us. And as this psalm says, he will destroy the sinners and he will set all things right.
Yes, and it ends with salvation comes from God the Lord. He is our refuge, and we will be safe evermore in his hands.
So go in that confidence this day, and blessings to you all.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.